Turn with me tonight to the book of Genesis. You should have no trouble finding it. One of the most important books ever written and given to mankind. And let me just read a few verses. And before I do, let me remind you, if you were not here last Wednesday night, then I encourage you to go to the bookstore and pick up the first sermon on Genesis. You need to really get that one underneath your belt so you can grow. And I encourage you to hang through this. Genesis is one of the greatest books written in the Bible. Amen? And of course, before us are the most read words ever read by man. And it begins in verse 1. Let me just read a few verses tonight. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." You know, last week we covered one verse, and tonight we're going to cover one verse. Then next week, the Lord willing, we'll try to cover the 6 days of creation. But like I told you, when I started Genesis this time, I'm going to take my time. I'm in no hurry. When we get over to chapter 12, we'll pick up the pace a little bit when we get to Abram, okay? But the first 11 chapters, they need to be not rushed because there's so much confusion, especially just on the first chapter of the book of Genesis. We're trying to lay a foundation, a strong foundation. And the scripture that we have before us tonight, verse 2, is without question the most debated scripture in the Bible. And it's almost like I don't even want to go here tonight, but this is the Word of God. Let me just start this way. We know the earth was created by God, but did something happen after God created the earth there in verse 1? Did a catastrophe occur? I mean, did the earth turn into a ruined place? In other words, was the cosmos in chaos? Let's put it that way. And not only that, did something happen there on this earth that God created in verse 1? I mean, was there a previous population there? Did it exist? Now, you may think, "Bill, I've never heard anything like that." Well, you're going to hear some strange things tonight, and that's not anything strange to those in seminaries or theologians. It's being taught all over the world. But let's begin tonight in Genesis 1, and let's just pick up where we left off last time. It says, "In the beginning, God did something." And we don't know when the beginning was. And we're not even going to try to find out because it would hurt our heads tonight. Amen? Because we don't understand that. We just know that this is how it all came about. And this right here, the first words in the Bible, God is telling us something. He said, "In the beginning, I did something," God says. "I created." That word, remember, created is bara. It means that He created everything out of nothing. Think about that for a moment. Absolutely nothing. He just spoke it and it occurred. So God created the heavens and the earth. He didn't try to prove who He was. He doesn't really care what the atheist think or the evolutionist or the agnostic. God says, "I am what I am," and that's what I am. And He doesn't try to prove Himself. He simply reveals Himself and He says, "I am the creator of everything that there is." So last week we learned three things, remember? We learned that creation reveals the glory of God, and creation reveals the power of God, and creation reveals the grace of God. Tonight, I'm going to speak on this subject. Creation or recreation? Say that with me. Creation or recreation? Very, very important. We know that God made everything. And how do we know that? Well, the Bible tells us how we know it in Hebrews 11:3. Let me read it to you. It says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." So we accept the Bible and, of course, Genesis 1:1 and all of Genesis chapter 1 and every part of the Bible, we accept it by faith. Now listen, God made everything, it says there, out of nothing. And like I said, I believe I said this last Wednesday night. No person on earth, no scientist, I don't care how smart a person is, no one can tell us how to make something out of nothing. Amen? Has anyone ever seen nothing? No. I mean, think of nothing for a moment. Some of you won't be too hard, but you know what I'm trying to say. I'm joking. It's Wednesday night. We can have a little humor on Wednesday. Now listen, it says in verse 2 now, watch this. We're talking about creation or recreation. It says the earth was without form. The earth was void. And darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now listen, what does that mean? I look at that and say, now when was the earth without form? When was the earth void? So like any good student, you know, you look up the Hebrew words there of what it means to be without form. And that word literally means in Hebrew, it means to be empty. It means no life, no people. In other words, a wasteland. Some translate this word without form here. Tohu is the word tohu and in the Hebrew. And they say that it means chaos or the ultimate confusion. And the word void there is very similar. You won't forget without form is tohu and without void here is bohu. Okay, pretty interesting, isn't it? Now, I don't want to talk about it, but anyway. Now, that word means emptiness and nothingness. So when I look at this, I say, okay, verse 1 says God created the heavens and the earth. He created them out of nothing. Verse 1, that statement. And now in verse 2, it says that the earth that He created, it's shapeless. It's full of chaos. It's useless. It's empty. There's no life there at all. It's without form. It's void. Now, what does that mean? What happened? Does verse 2 mean that there's a huge time gap between verse 1 and verse 2? Now, if you who have studied for a few years, you know that, yeah, there are people that believe that. It's called the gap theory. Matter of fact, it's being taught in our seminaries, in our Bible colleges throughout the world, and has been being taught, well over 125 years. And as fact. And so, you know, you look at this tonight and say, okay, so does that mean here between verse 1 and verse 2, God created the heavens and the earth, but all of a sudden something happened there between verse 1 and verse 2. It became empty. It became void. It became a place of chaos. Does that mean there in between verse 1 and 2, did billions of years pass before we get to verse 3? Were all of the geological ages, for example, all of that stuff that they have stuffed in that gap between verse 1 and 2, were all the fossil records put right there? You know, I don't know. But, you know, there are those that teach that. And does this mean that we can harmonize, for example, biblical chronological evidence with the evolutionary evidence? Does that mean that? There are those that believe, of course, in 6 literal days of creation, but then most people say, well, they weren't really literal days. They were geological days. In other words, that one day could have been 10 million years. Well, we don't believe that. We believe what the Bible teaches. Well, that's next week. But when we get to this, we look and say, okay, this gap theory, this big gap of time, there are those today that teach in verse 2 where it says, the earth was, they use that word was, and they say, they translate it became. In other words, the earth became a ruin. And they use Isaiah 45:18 to prove it. Let me read it to you. It says, for thus saith the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth, who made the earth, who established it, now here it comes, who did not create it in vain. In other words, God who did not create the earth in vain. The word in vain there is the same word we just read in Genesis 1:2 where it says without form. Meaning He didn't create it without form. He didn't create the earth empty. He didn't create it a wasteland. It says who formed it, it says in Isaiah 45:18, to be inhabited. So in other words, God didn't create the earth to be filled with confusion. And we know that God didn't create the earth to be a wasteland. God created the earth for His incredible grace to give it to us. Amen. And so we look at that and we say, gosh, it was to be filled with all of Your beauty, Lord, and all of that. So here we look and say, well, did it become a wasteland? Did it become a place that was just ruined and now it's in total darkness and water is covering it and so forth? Were there a previous people that populated the world between Genesis verses 1 and 2, which we call the gap theory? Did a catastrophe occur? Was there, for example, a pre-Adamic race of people that lived there? You know, something like they had the characteristics of the Neanderthal man. In other words, you've seen the movie Planet of the Apes. You don't remember that? You know? And you know, I mean, I'm looking, I say, is that what it, is this where the dinosaurs, for example, existed? You know, if you remember, you know, the king of all dinosaurs, the king tyrant, remember? He is the Tyrannosaurus Rex. Now, that's great because I forgot how to pronounce it, but, you know, it's something I use every day when I talk with people. And, you know, they say that he came about 65.5 million or billion years ago, okay? I don't remember which one it is, but it doesn't really matter. Millions or billions, does it? You understand? And I don't know how they got the 0.5. But they have it down, okay? And he existed all those years ago, and they say that he existed according to the fossil records. Now, what happened between verse 1 and 2? For someone to say that the earth was a wasteland, that it became ruined, that it was God created it, then all of a sudden everything fell apart. Now, there are those that teach us that this is when Satan was removed from heaven, and he was cast down to earth there in verse 1. When the earth was perfect, when God created the heavens and the earth, and then as a result of his fall, there that gap theory, that period of time, the earth became that horrible wasteland. Let me just read to you from Ezekiel 28:15, talking about Satan when he was removed from heaven. God says in the word, he says, you were perfect, talking about the devil, Satan. It says, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. Imagine that. The first sin was not on earth. The first sin was found in heaven by the wicked one. And of course, his rebellion and so forth. You remember that he secured, about a third of the angels, and they were all removed with him. Isaiah 14:12 says this. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, that's the devil, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Here it comes. How you were cut down, or literally how you were cast down to the ground, meaning from heaven to the ground. You who weaken the nations, for you've said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And then he says, Satan says, and I will be like the Most High God. And God says, no, you're not. And the next thing you know, he's being cast out of heaven and he takes a lot of the angels there with him. I don't know why they went, but they did. What Satan didn't realize that when he was removed from heaven, that then earth, in a sense, would become his prison. In other words, he's here. He's in the heavenlies above the earth. He knows that his time is short, doesn't he? And oh, is he trying to wear out the saints of God? And aren't you glad tonight that since you're in Christ, you have overcome the wicked one? Amen? And the wicked one touches you not, it says in 1 John 5. Now, here's the deal. What if we change the way we read this just for a moment? Let's look at Genesis 1:1 again. What if we read it like this? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And let me just add a little bit. I'm not changing anything. And when he created the heavens and the earth, it says, well, the earth was without form. It was without void. Is it a possibility here in verse 2 and the verses following that God in his word is simply revealing to us the future purpose he has for the earth, because then we have the 6 days of creation. In other words, what he did was the earth was, when he created it, it was without shape, it was without design, it could have been like a sphere or a core. And after he created that, he simply then started the days of creation and started, in other words, building it, if you will, creating it, whatever word you want to use. So there, the core of the earth, if you will, was in darkness. Nothing had been done yet. The water was all over the area, all over the earth, if you will. And I look at that and I say, you know, he was going to change it. And what was he going to do? He was going to fill the earth full of all of this beauty, and he was going to do it for us, not for himself. He was doing it for us. So is Genesis 1 simply telling us here how God brought form to that which is unformed? Now, you see, I'm asking you all these questions and I'm not giving you any answers. Let me say this. If that's not the case, okay? If that's not the case with verse 2, then listen very carefully. It means then, are we to accept the gap theory? And if we do accept the gap theory, that means the 6 days of creation are now the 6 days of recreation. Are you following me? If God created the earth and then something happened to the earth, it fell into this chaos, this ruin because of the devil or whatever was happening there, okay? And so all of a sudden, you know, it's no longer the 6 days of creation. It's going to become the 6 days of recreation. And if we accept the gap theory, okay, then you're going to have to accept the following, and I'm going to just read them to you if you don't mind. The first thing you're going to have to accept is this, that all kinds of life existed on earth before the sin of Satan and the fall of Adam. Are you following me? If you accept the gap theory, then you're going to need to accept this one too, that suffering and disease and death all existed between verse 1 and verse 2 before Adam. Before the fall of Satan or right after the fall of Satan, I don't know. And that means it could have been a billion years, I have no idea, I'm just telling you what people teach, a billion years of suffering on this planet. I can't even comprehend God allowing or doing anything like that, okay? Now, if we accept the gap theory, we have to accept also the fossil record. And that way, if we accept the fossil record, it helps us identify the geological ages. Now, let me ask you a question. What is a fossil? Someone called me an old fossil today. No, I'm serious. You think they came to the door, they knocked on the door, and they said, we were here a few years back, and did we give you this right here? I said, no, you didn't give it to me. He said, oh, no, we gave it to the young, skinny, young pastor, not to you, the old one. I said, well, the Lord bless you. Now, fossils are what? Dead things. I'm not dead yet. I'm not an old fossil. Fossils are dead things. Now, let me ask you a question. That means now, between verse 1 and 2, there's all kinds of, if they say a billion years could have, geological ages, all of the stuff happened right there. And all this death, all this disease, all this dying, all this suffering, all of this time, all before Adam. If we buy that, if we believe that, and accept all this death and the things that are happening there, then I need to ask you a question. God, who cannot lie, has told us in His Word when and how death entered the world. Okay? Matter of fact, did death enter the world between verses 1 and 2? I don't think it did at all, because the Bible doesn't teach that. Death entered the world only, listen carefully, the death entered this world only, the Bible teaches, when Adam sinned. Let me read Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man, and let me just add that one man is Adam and only one man. Okay, let me read it again now. Therefore, just as though one man, that's Adam, sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Why? Because all sinned. So how could this be a work of sin between verses 1 and 2? Because sin had not yet entered the world. Are you following me? See, what I'm doing tonight is I'm not saying yay or nay to you. I'm challenging you to think for a moment. Not that you don't think, but I'm making you make a decision. And we look at this and I go, okay, well, how could death occur when death comes from sin and Adam had not sinned yet? Are you following me? Okay, now, so the gap theory, is it true or is it false? Were there what they call creative ages? In other words, you know, the original earth is from Genesis 1:1, okay? And then Satan, of course, fell, and all this chaos and horrible things and all these weird creatures or whatever was there and so forth. You know, then it went from the original earth to verse 2, which is the chaotic earth, and then down to verse 3, all the way to chapter 2, verse 3. Then you have the restored earth, or the recreated earth, if you will. Now, I personally, well, let's just wait. Let's take one other thing. What about this word darkness? What does it say? Look at it for a moment. It says something here about darkness. It says darkness was on the face of the deep. So the physical earth was in existence, but there was no light, there was no life, there was no motion, there was just darkness. Now, there are those who say, well, this darkness proves that there was chaos and horrible sin in verse 2 after God created the earth. And because they use darkness as a term, which we can use darkness as judgment, or we can use darkness to talk about sin or evil. But you know, the fact of the matter is when God created the earth, those things, according to the Bible, were not yet present. God says they were not there yet, even though man is particularly saying that. Let me ask you a question. What does darkness mean here? When it says darkness is on the face of the earth, have you ever been in total darkness? I'm talking about so dark that you cannot see anything. And you know, when it's that dark, you know, you see things. Did you know that? Yeah. Have you ever gone down like in Carlsbad Caverns or, you know, one of those caves, and they take you down? Of course, they have it all lit up, and they go, now let me show you how dark it is down here. And they turn out all the lights, and you go, oh, God, save me. You know, because you're used to sleeping with that little Peter Pan nightlight there in your bedroom. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, it's so dark. I mean, it's darker. It's dark. I don't know. What is darkness? I don't know how to explain it. But I do know this. The Bible says in Isaiah 45, 7, listen to this, what God says. God says, I form the light. And then He says, I create. That's that word bara again. I create out of nothing. He says, I create darkness. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says that God hides Himself in darkness, so you don't know what He's doing. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1, 5, so this is the message that we have from Him. It says, and declare to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Amen. What is darkness? Well, is it judgment? Yes, can be. Is darkness sin? Absolutely. But here, it just means it was dark. Is that okay? Whatever that darkness was, it just means there was darkness there. God had not started His creative work, if you will. And so we look at this, and I just thank God tonight that we're not walking in darkness. That, you know, we're following the light of life, and if we follow Him, Jesus said, we will never walk in darkness. We'll never stumble. We're going to find the way. So here, the universe, we look at it, the earth had been called into existence from nothing. But then verse 2 says the earth was without form. It's without void. It says that it's full of this darkness. And so it has to be changed. It has to be energized. And so it says what? The Spirit of God, literally the breath of God, if you will. The Spirit of God was hovering, brooding, moving over the face of the waters. Isn't that interesting? Over the face of the waters. You know, I encourage you to read Proverbs chapter 8. It's an incredible chapter. But let me just give you one verse from that. In Proverbs 8:27, it says, when God prepared the heavens, it says, I was there. When He drew a circle, or literally set a compass on the face of the deep. So we're talking about the face of the deep here. We're talking about the face of the waters. So this earth was formless. But it doesn't mean it was in a chaotic state. It was just formless. It doesn't mean that necessarily that Satan had fallen at that time and there was a great upheaval or whatever. It doesn't tell us that. But it does say that it was formless, and the water was also formless, which means it wasn't a body yet. There was no cohesiveness, if you will, to it. So it says the Spirit of God was hovering, was brooding, was moving. So creation is not only an act of God, Creation is not only an act of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that creation is also an act of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Amen. It says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. So the entire Godhead is involved here in the creation. It says in Psalm 33:6, it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth, meaning the Holy Spirit. God breathed, if you will. Now, listen, how long, this is a deep theological question now, how long did the Holy Spirit hover over the face of the waters? Well, until we get to verse 3, and then God spoke. Amen? That's about how long it was. How long was that? I have no idea. I just know what happened in verse 3. How's that? So, was it creation continued, or was it recreation? Was the Holy Spirit there was hovering over something that was lifeless, that was formless, that was empty, it was a wasteland, it was darkness, and there was water all over it. It's almost like an embryonic stage, if you will. You know, and you think about that. It says the Spirit of God was hovering or brooding. Do you know that is an emotion? That is a character trait? It's only found about 3 times in the Bible. And it's a fluttering, it says in the Hebrew too, a fluttering. It's almost like, if I mean no blasphemous or disrespect, but it's when I say this, but it's the nearest picture we can get to this is like a mother hen, if you will. You know how they're hovering over their little ones and protecting them. And have you ever seen little chicks get underneath their mom and so forth? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit, He was just hovering. Matter of fact, Knox said this, He was stirring, but it is an emotion. But the question is this, what was the purpose of the Holy Spirit's moving or the Holy Spirit's brooding? Here's what I have learned in my life, and it's been a very quick and very short life, may I tell you? But if I know anything about the Holy Spirit, and it's important to know the Holy Spirit, amen? Listen, the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, it says for us, it says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with ye all. Now listen, we as Christians, we understand the grace of the Lord, don't we? He died for our sins. And we understand the love of God, or we have our claws into it pretty well, don't we? But the church today, we really don't know what it means to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because we think of the Holy Spirit today, and some people are terrified of the Holy Spirit because they watch Christian TV. You know what I'm saying? And they think that the Holy Spirit is some weird person, and He's not. And, you know, the Holy Spirit desires fellowship with us. He desires to lead us into all truth. He desires to guide our way. He desires to speak to our heart. He desires to light up every word in the Bible and let it come into our hearts that it may be living. Amen? Now listen, so when I look at this, the purpose of His brooding, you know what the Holy Spirit is doing? He is moving, He is hovering, if you will, over what He sees. And what He sees, now listen, is without form and without void, meaning it is incomplete, it is unfurnished, and He is brooding over it. Now listen, that's exactly what God, the Holy Spirit, is doing to you right now and every day of your life. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not only in our hearts, He is also the paraclete. He is alongside of us, right? And He's also, Acts 1:8 says, He comes upon us. Listen, the Holy Spirit will never leave you. He is in your heart and He is alongside you. He is everywhere, isn't He? And listen, He's brooding. When He looks at us, He goes, our families, our children, our walk, He's always brooding over us right now. He knows your hurts. He knows your heart. He knows everything you're going through. And you know what He wants to do every day? He wants to remove the dark areas from your heart, from your mind, from your life, from your thinking. And He wants to bring completeness to it, doesn't He? Every day that's what He's doing. That's why He speaks to you. That's why He ignites the pages in the Word of God. And He desires that deep relationship with you. He is available to you. Are you available to Him? Amen. Very important. Listen, you know, you've heard me teach this many times, that we are to practice awareness. In other words, that He's here. He really is here. Are you listening to me? The Holy Spirit is here right now. And he desires intimacy and fellowship. He's not only the agent of creation, he is God. Are you following me? And so here he's hovering over all of this, and he wants to bring life and light where there is only darkness. And that's what he wants to do in our life. He's always changing us. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, from glory to glory, we're being transformed into the same image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, which we call sanctification, that wonderful lifelong process. It says in Genesis 2:7, now listen, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and listen to what he did, and he breathed into his nostrils, what? The breath of life, and man became a living being. The creation of man is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. And we were dead until the Holy Spirit came into us, the Spirit of God. Now listen to me very carefully. The Holy Spirit tonight, I'm making application actually, and I know we're talking about creation or recreation, but I'll get back to that. The Holy Spirit tonight is brooding over us. He's brooding over this fellowship. Boy, He's right there next to you when you wake up in the morning, when you go to sleep at night. Every word you say, He hears. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 4:29 and following, let no corrupt communication proceedeth out of your mouth except that which is good. Amen? See, because words can grieve, vex, or sadden the Holy Spirit of God. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, listen, a force cannot be grieved, but a person can be grieved. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, if we have lost the sense of the Holy Spirit brooding over us, then we have a problem. And that means if you cut yourself off unknowingly or knowingly from the Holy Spirit, now listen, you cut yourself off from the Spirit of life. And when you do that, or if I do that, then we open up ourselves for the spirit of chaos, confusion, and et cetera, et cetera. In other words, we become without form and we become without void. Are you following me? In other words, we become a wasteland because we're no longer being led by the Holy Spirit of the Lord. Listen, let's never lose our purpose. Let us never lose our calling and our destiny and our life, because the Holy Spirit of God wants to bring order to your life, just like He brought order to the earth when it was in that stage of a wasteland stage, if you will, of verse 2. He's going to change that. It was incomplete. It was unfurnished. He was going to do something about it. And the areas in our life that are out of order, the Holy Spirit wants to bring order to. Is that okay? All right, now listen. So is it creation or is it recreation? Well, you can just choose for yourself. Well, Bill, which way do you lean? I'll just be honest with you, folks. I wasn't there. But here's where I stand. You know, I went back and looked at my old notes when I taught this, whenever it was, a long time ago here. And I went back and I said, I'm saying the same thing that I'm saying right now. I don't have a clue. But I don't care either. You understand? But I'm telling you, that's what's being taught. I lean toward the fact is that it couldn't have been at all. And the reason I say that is because I quoted Romans 5:12 to you, that death came and sin because Adam. Amen? It wasn't on the earth at that time. I just happened to trust the Word of God, and that's where I'm going to stay. But so is it creation or recreation? Well, I'm going to just hang with creation, if you don't mind, and read it just like I told you, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form. Okay, that's the way it was when He created. And then the 6 days of creation took place, and He started filling up the earth. Now, with all that being said, one thing I know that I am sure of tonight is that God sent His Son, amen, to His creation, so His creation would repent, so we could become new creations. And thank God that's what and who we are tonight. Now let me just say some things tonight. And I'm almost reluctant to say them. But if I say them to you tonight, will you know I'm not trying to discourage you? But I am trying to be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. You know, I told the Lord in my prayer time this afternoon, I said, Lord, I don't want to say what I'm about to say right now. I don't want to say it. I just want to have a happy night. I want to love everybody. I don't want them to think I'm some kind of weird pastor, you know, and like the Lord said, they already know that, Bill. You know, and I just want to love them and teach about the gap theory and let them be as confused about it as I am, and we'll all go home and have cookies and milk and go to sleep. But it was like the Holy Spirit is just brooding tonight. And so I'm going to ask you some questions. And they're not easy questions about the Holy Spirit brooding maybe over the nation, maybe over our nation. Say, Bill, what does that have to do with creation? I don't know. The Holy Spirit's the one who prepares these sermons, not me. Is that a deal? Now listen very carefully. What if, say that with me. What if? Now we know it's a what if. I'm not saying it. I'm saying what if. What if the Holy Spirit that is brooding over the churches in America, I know He is, and He's brooding over the American church and the Holy Spirit, what if? I'm not saying, what if the Holy Spirit is so grieved with the American church that He is so grieved that He is no longer speaking to the church and we don't even know it? I said, what if? I didn't say that He wasn't saving people. I didn't say that He wasn't loving people. I said, what if He is so grieved He is no longer speaking? And if He is speaking, it's not Him that's speaking because we wouldn't even recognize His voice. What if the American church, and may I just say America, what if we are so consumed with self and what I want, what I desire, and I'll do what I want to do, say what I want to say, live the way I want to live. And the Holy Spirit is just brooding and He's going, I'm being grieved. I can't take this. What if the Holy Spirit of God is so grieved by the churches that are ripping people off that they're fleecing the sheep instead of feeding the sheep? You hear me? I mean, what if, you know, what if we're no longer, I'm not saying, I said, what if we're no longer pursuing holiness in our walk, in our conduct? You know what it says over in Peter? Listen very carefully now. It says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, things continue as they were. Here it comes, from the beginning of creation. We're talking about creation tonight, aren't we? It says, for this they willingly forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Noah's days. Now listen carefully. But the heavens and the earth that we're talking about tonight, the heavens and the earth that God created all the way back in Genesis 1:1, it says, which are now preserved by the same word are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but should come to repentance. Here it is. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens that God made, the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. The works, the things that we're going to learn in Genesis chapter 1. Now listen, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, here comes the word. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? What if tonight the Holy Spirit has been hovering so long over our great nation and over the wonderful churches that are here, but the Holy Spirit is no longer really welcome? I'm not talking about weird things. I'm talking about He's not welcome anymore. Where the Holy Spirit is on the outside of the church, He's knocking, let me in, open the door. He's knocking on our hearts. He's hovering over us every day. And He says, don't say that. Don't look at that. Don't touch that. Don't go there. Don't do that. And every time we deny Him, it breaks His heart. What if, I'm not saying we are, what if we're doing those things? What if We talk about picking up the cross and denying ourselves by His grace, by His power, by the Word of God, not through our effort, but by His strength. And yet, we don't follow Him. What if? What if we're doing those things and the Holy Spirit is just grieved? I'm not saying He is. I'm asking you a question. What if the Holy Spirit of God is so grieved that we're no longer hearing His voice, but we think we're hearing His voice, but we're actually hearing the voice of strangers? I look at that and I say, God, we have a problem. When I see the Holy Spirit of God hovering like that, something happens to me, because I look at that and it just simply breaks my heart. Church, listen, you know, we're going to learn about in Genesis how God literally, you know how He stretched out the universe, right? Are you listening to me? He stretched it out. He expanded it. It's a picture of like getting a hammer and taking metal and forming it and stretching it out. Let me ask you a question. How far did God stretch out the universe? Are you listening to me? I mean, it's incredible. I mean, the universe is gigantic. He set all the stars, sun, moon, all that. He named all of the stars. He knows each one of them. Man can't even calculate how large the universe is. Billions and billions of galaxies and stars and all that's there. How big it is. How big is God? Listen to 2 Chronicles 2:6. It says, but who is able to build God a temple? Here it comes. You ready? Since heaven and the heaven of heavens, that's the heaven, that means everything, cannot contain Him. 2 Chronicles 6:18, behold, heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which we have built. Did you hear what He just said? Listen to me. He said that the universe, do you know how big the universe is? I can't even think about it. I mean, that hurts, doesn't it? Do you understand? God, He's saying right here, well, what you created, God, is bigger. It can't even contain you. How big do you think God is? You ever think about that? I mean, we have a picture of God, I think, like some people, like He's got a long beard or something, you know, a little short guy, or I don't know, you know? No, listen, how big is God? Listen, God is, what's that theological word? Omniscient, is that it? Yeah, that means He knows everything, right? He is omnipotent. It means He's what? All-powerful. And then He's, what's the other one? Omnipresence. Thank you. What does that mean? No, wait a minute. He's where? Okay. Does that mean right now He is all the way over in Japan? Okay, but is He on Mars? Okay, is He at the end? Is He above the heavens? Okay, how big is that? I'm telling you that God is so big. God is in every part of the universe right now. That's how big He is. Now listen carefully. Here's the problem tonight. It really is the problem. It's our problem, and we've got to get it solved, and we've got to get over it. Listen, man has so watered down Almighty God and made Him so anemic that we're no longer in awe of Him. We don't even think about it. We become lazy in a way, slothful. We say, I'm going to run to the throne of grace, but we don't really mean that anymore. We're going to come to church, and you're faithful to be here tonight. God bless you, and I'm challenging you. I'm not beating you. I'm challenging you. I mean, I'm provoking you. I'm telling you that we need to be in awe of God because He is big. Do you understand? He fills nothing. That everything He's created cannot even contain Him. He is a big God. And He is enough for our little problems that become so big in our lives. And the reason our problems overtake us so often, we've all been there, is because the Holy Spirit of God, who is the agent of creation, who was hovering over the darkness and the confusion and the mass that was there, the incompleteness, the nothingness, the wasteland. And He said, I can't handle this. And so what did God do? And God said, let there be light. And light was. Now listen. That's what God wants to do with your marriage and your problems and all that you're facing. He is big enough to handle it. And our problem is we go to the Lord and it's like, oh God, you know, are you really there? Are you going to, do you hear me? Don't you see? And God says, man, I'm big. He said, listen, I am big. You know, God is big. He's huge. And we need to get back to where we are in awe of God again in our worship and in our quiet time and when we read the Bible. We need to say, who? What does God say? He says, I'm looking for the man who will what? Tremble at my word. Tremble. This is God's word. This is holy. It's perfect truth. Folks, we have the truth. We have the Holy Spirit of God hovering over us. I don't want to be those what ifs, do you? I don't want to be like that. I want to say, oh God, I want to be all I can be by your strength and by your word. Would you let me just close tonight by reading Psalm 148? Turn there with me. Let me just read this to you as I close. This is talking about praising the Lord from creation, all right? Now watch this. Just follow me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him all His angels. Praise Him all His hosts. Praise Him sun and moon. Praise Him all you stars of light. Praise Him you heavens of heavens, you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths, fire and hail and snow and clouds and stormy wind, fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills and fruitful trees and all the cedars and the beasts, all cattle, creeping things, flying fowl, kings of the earth, all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and the heaven, and He has exalted the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to Him. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Amen. God is good tonight. And He is so worthy of our adoration and our praise. Let us not have a dim, anemic, small, tiny view of the God who created everything. We've read the Bible so much that the words have become stagnant in our hearts and our minds. We want the Holy Spirit to just flutter right over here and wake every word up like they're a fire that burned within us. Amen? Listen, don't you be discouraged tonight. Don't you feel that your problems are too big for God? I'm telling you, He is so awesome. He is so wonderful. He is so marvelous. And His ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. Amen.